Welcome to Two Bards, One Mic. Insert interesting music here.
I swear we're actually going to get music one of these days.
Nah.
128, here we are.
128. There
wow.
We be.
I can't believe it. It's not butter.
I can.
I can too. It says it right on the box.
It's Fabio sweat.
Ooh. I would expect it to actually be thicker and creamier somehow.
Ugh. No. Fabio sweat.
Oh, my bad. My bad. So here we are.
Yes, here we are.
Born to be king. I've already done that one. I can't do that one again.
No.
So I just got back from Reunicon.
Yes,
you did. You went on Friday.
Yep.
But I was there Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We came home last night a little bit early because we hadn't slept yet. Because the Reunicon walls are extremely thin.
Yep.
Which is fine. Last time I was there, there were no children. Like, it was specifically a 21 and over gig.
Mm-hmm.
So the only loud child there was Christian Doyle.
And Nathan.
Well, and Nathan Rice. Sorry, the only loud children there were Christian Doyle and Nathan Rice. But this time around, there were toddlers pretty much everywhere.
Yes, they were
in the woodwork. Like, two of them got caught in the ductwork. We had to beat them out with brooms. You know? So it was a bit much.
Yeah.
I've already put in my time there.
Yeah. There was a lot of folks that showed up, which
there
was
were a ton,
pretty
yeah.
awesome.
Yeah, and then a bunch of little groups, like, organized communal meals. So, like, the first mm-hmm. night, Jimmy McMichael worked out Papa John's, which turned out to be way better than I thought it was going to. Because I'm okay with take-and-bake pizza in
mm-hmm.
general. Papa Murphy's. Sorry.
Okay.
I'm okay
Papa
with,
John's.
Yeah, no. I wouldn't support that guy. Papa Murphy's. It was okay. Aaron remembers not liking it at all. I remember liking it way less. This was good. This mm-hmm. was actually good. And Nathan Rice brought, I want to call it Tony's Cajun seasoning. It's this little green, like, it looks like Parmesan,
mm-hmm.
but it's this Cajun seasoning. And he's like, trust me, Andy, trust me.
Famous last words.
Yeah. And I trusted him, and it paid off. It was really good.
That's the first time I've ever heard all of that in one sentence.
I know. Oh, you're going to... For those of you listening at home, Scott's putting a pop shield on his mic, so you're going to hear a little clink clank for a second out of your left ear, I believe. Should this actually... Or, well, one, should you be listening to it in stereo? And two, should he be more noisy than, say, he was? Because that turned out to be pretty damn quiet. I can see in the waveform one little, but that's about it.
But so. I felt that I was getting too close to the mic, so.
Ah, I gotcha. So, other than the feasting and whatnot, we did play some games, which were kind of fun. Matt Vansel introduced us to Camp Grizzly, which I'm
awesome game.
Going to be picking up along with the expansions as soon as I can.
Yeah.
It's essentially a late 70s, early 80s horror film as a board game.
Yeah.
So
it's awesome.
It is unbalanced as shit intentionally. So sometimes you will just destroy Otis, the guy who's stalking you in his bear mask. Other times he will destroy... There's almost never a fair fight, but it's always fun.
Yeah. Did you guys play after
we
our
did.
Game?
Yeah, I played again the next night. And it was a blast.
How did it turn out?
We won.
Oh,
everybody
sweet.
Survived. The body count didn't get past 3, which helps
right.
a lot.
Oh, was that the game that I played with you in?
We all survived,
night.
Didn't we?
We all survived.
Yeah, then yes, it was. Sorry, I played
okay.
before I, that. I played I, before. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, so that was it. The one before that did not go well. The body count was, I think, 8 or 9.
Wow.
So he was rolling a d12 to hit. He was stalking at 4. It was
Jiminy
bad.
Jiminy Christmas, yeah.
So, and nobody had a weapon except for me, and my weapon dealt an injury every time I used it.
What was the weapon?
Staple? A shard of glass.
Oh, okay.
So, and I had one health point left, so I couldn't even use it.
Right.
And we all died bad. But it's so much fun. It's got all the tropes of those 80s, 70s mm-hmm. and 80s horror films. I highly suggest checking it out. It's called Camp Grizzly.
Yeah, it's outstanding. And I don't game all that much, but that was... The minute you described it to me, I was like, okay.
We're doing
and
that. Yeah.
That was worth every minute.
Yeah, and then you also played this interesting game that I didn't care for very much, but it looked like it might have been really, really... exciting to play anyway, the superhero game.
I just sort of I dealt cards. I wasn't technically part of the playing. Okay. I was just more like, no, here's a villain, add it to the thing.
So it was essentially supervillains are attacking a satellite, and there were eight paths they could take up to the satellite, or maybe 12, I forget.
Eight.
Okay. And then I saw that
eight sectors and mm-hmm. then eight rings in.
Right, eight rings in, and they'd move closer, and they could all gang up. And you had ultra villains who would take out the satellite immediately if they hit it, and all this other stuff, and it got bad.
Yeah, and there's only four superheroes: Green Lantern,
Batman,
Superman, Flash, and the Flash.
Right.
Which, why is the Flash on a satellite station?
Yeah.
And poor Sarah. No, Katie Spray played the Flash
and
kept rolling ones for movement. And it was like, that's about as anti-Flash.
It seems like he should always get a plus one to his movement at least.
Yes.
No matter what you roll, he should get an extra move.
Yeah.
But he doesn't. Another game broke out that looked just like it, except it was on a mountain and it was medieval themed.
Hmm.
So, but it looked like almost the same mechanic. I didn't get the name of that one.
That would have been cool.
Yeah. So that was Reunicon in a nutshell. We did some filming for something I cannot talk about. Well, I can talk about it. I can't say what it is in any way. But we filmed, this was after you left,
mm-hmm.
On Saturday, hiked up to a bunker. I want to say just west of the Commons. So it was no drive, but it was, you could go up and there was like a big hidden gun turret place up there, and mm-hmm. lots of concrete buildings and mazes and stuff, and then this bunker, and we paid for the filming fee,
mm-hmm.
but we also got them to say, yeah, we can, that's ours, we can basically say keep out, this one's ours. So that was a lot of fun. It was really cold, and I mean really cold. When we went out to film, because we also, you and I went out and filmed some stuff, mm-hmm. Which I need to get up on the NAS for you, by the way. But we went out and filmed some stuff the day before. That was freezing, but it was wind. This was just icebox cold because we were in a concrete bunker.
Yes.
So it was always colder inside than it was outside. And which is cool for what we were filming because we got a lot of breath, which looks awesome. We had fire, like torches and candles and torches, pro torches too, like the kind that fire, like, so Chris Dupenthaler made torches for us, the kind that are the rag with the accelerant mm-hmm. on it and a bamboo stick that you use for like fire juggling and stuff like that.
Yep.
and all of the movie fire stuff. So we had those. It looked amazing. The whole thing looked just great. I'm super excited to see it. And I'm excited for you guys to see it too, which should be hopefully in a couple of weeks. My understanding is these do not have a high turnaround time.
Hmm.
They get filmed and they get edited and they, end up blah, blah, blah. So that should be a lot of fun. But again, whew, cold.
Yeah.
The day before, of course, like I said, we went to Fort Flagler, and you want to talk about that one a little bit?
Sure.
Cool.
I had thought of this last summer when I took an accidental trip out to the peninsula region and was just kind of running around some of the old locations that we had shot at and got super invigorated and shot it all on my camera phone. And... of course, I didn't have any audio equipment with me. So it was all from the perspective of the camera. And the minute I stepped away from the camera to do anything, it was shot. So I thought, hey, we're going to be a stone's throw away. We'll get there late morning, let the earth warm up a bit for us, and go shoot some stuff with the Black Magic and have the Zoom and all that. And we got out there, and of course it was bitterly cold and it was windy and it was everything not conducive to doing any shooting, but excuse me.
Oh, he's sneezing again. This is what he's, that's how cold it was.
Yeah, I'm still, ooh, I'm still shivering. No, it's Brophy's cat from the game today.
Oh.
So
Panthers caused you trouble twice.
Yeah. Mm. And the, so we shot a couple things and maybe using that with the audio, if it was any good, spliced in with some of the other stuff
we'll
that
mix
I
it
shot.
In and, yeah.
And it'll be good. Otherwise, we'll just take the good footage.
Yeah.
Do some voiceover to it.
Or we'll put it together. It's terrible. We'll decide that it is still worth it and we'll go out and do it again.
Yeah.
In the summer or spring. Yeah. Yeah.
Just not the now.
Just not the now ever again.
At least it didn't rain.
That's true. And it immediately did shortly after that.
Yes.
But it wasn't rain, and it wasn't peninsula rain.
Nope.
It was that misty, sputtery kind of rain.
Real nuisance-y rain.
Yeah. Yeah, that sucks.
Because when you're in the rain, it's like, okay, I'm in the rain.
I'm in the rain. I'm in the rain. When it's this, it's like, oh, I'm just annoyed.
Yeah.
Like,
it's like
getting
Chinese
on
water torture rain.
Yeah. It's getting on everything and making everything moist.
Yeah.
But not actually raining.
Yeah.
I hate that. So, yeah, it was an interesting weekend. The week itself was absolutely uneventful prior. So, leading up. We do have a little bit of more weekend excitement after the podcast ends. We're going to do IT work at Scott's place, getting his NAS set up, which is going to be a lot of fun. But that's about it for me. What have you got?
Been working on websites.
Mm-hmm.
Went down to my tattoo shop in Olympia.
Yeah.
And I'm going to redo their website in a much more simple fashion that's more graphically intensive, since they're a tattoo shop.
Right.
Should probably showcase that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah. More flash for the flash.
And now Suzanne has gotten really good about putting all the artists' work on Facebook, so she can upload all of that.
Right.
So now I can build a static website that if an artist changes, I get an image, I get some information, I swap that out, boom, done.
Right. You don't have to swap out their portfolio.
Their Facebook portfolio, right. So now you can see anything however you want to see it.
Mm-hmm.
And we're updating some of the text. They got a new shop in Olympia. It's about 2 blocks from the Harlequin Theater that I do a lot of performing at.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an awesome shop. You walk in and it's all green. It's painted so it looks like mossy, moldy on everything. And then all the door jams and everything are this really nice purple.
Ooh.
A lot of leather chairs.
Right.
The little cubby hole rooms have big cutouts so that it's not like I'm walking into this tiny room with a door.
Right.
Big window sections in it. Really open, really comfortable, really nice vibe. It's like, okay. Yeah, this is great.
Right.
And, of course, Suzanne's like, so when are you going to get more ink? And I'm like, now that I can have ink whenever I want ink, I can't really think of any ink I want. So,
yeah. Yeah. I do want to say a couple of thank yous, by the way, for help this weekend, because there were some real standouts. Chris and Cisco Piazzo, thank you so much for all the work you did on set, in addition to just being genuinely
awesome.
Cool and helping us as a group up there, going and shuttling to stores and whatnot. Also, Cisco was nice enough to buy a heater for the set and keep.
Oh, nice.
And I mean, I seriously think Chris Dupenthaler would have lost a toe if we hadn't had the heater. He was very cold.
Hmm.
And thank you, of course, to Seth and Kathy Davis for Digby Davis for Kathy. I don't know if they both hyphenate, and their wonderful daughter Freya for coming up and saying hi and hanging out and just being genuinely awesome as well, and also for finding Scott's beer cozy that he left up there.
Can cozy.
Because
it usually holds Diet Coke.
I gotcha. Whatever. The can cozy with the Harley Davidson motorcycle on it.
Yeah.
So thank you. Brian and Tiff were, of course, awesome as always. Brian jumped up to help immediately and also kind of stood up for the whole situation going on, because I guess some people were under the impression that no filming at all at Reunicon was a rule, not a we didn't do it last time because people didn't want to be on camera. The reason it didn't happen the years prior is because people were talking about filming the Reunicon itself or live streaming from the Reunicon, which there is no fucking possible way you could do from the shitty internet up there anyway. At least it has internet, but like terrible, terrible internet. This was something separate where some people who wanted to participate went and participated. And I did, in fact, want to participate because I haven't filmed in a long time.
Right.
So thank you, Brian and Tiff, for being just super awesome. And thank you, Scout, if you're listening, which I will try to keep the curses down on this particular episode just so that you may. But thank you for introducing me to, I believe it was Poe and Mr. Churchill, who were her otter and ferret, respectively.
Respectively.
No, other way around. Churchill's the otter.
Okay.
Sorry. So, no, I don't remember. I just did voices for them. But it was really cool hanging out with Scout for a while. And then, of course, Brian and Tiff kind of just coming to the defense of the whole thing when people got a little upset that they weren't either weren't invited, which the invitations weren't a sub. It's not because it was not an open set.
Right.
It wasn't everyone come down.
Right.
It was, we need these specific skill sets. It was all worked out beforehand. And then there was also the, well, we shouldn't be filming anything here anyway. And it's like, yeah, but we're here.
Mm-hmm.
We're all here at a location that totally fits. And I wanted to do it. And
right.
So Brian stood up, and I really appreciate that a lot from him. So they were great. And I mean, just in general, like, it was, and Jimmy and Kat, thanks to them so much for being adults the entire weekend and not getting us into any conversations about children, which is, I'm not saying conversations about children are bad or anything.
Right.
I'm saying I wanted to have the ability to escape those once in a while, and Jimmy and Kat were there providing that, which was awesome.
And thanks to Brian for helping on your and my filming day.
Yes. Also thanks to Brian for that.
And to Aaron.
And to Aaron.
For braving
It was cold.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what it was out at Flagler, but it was just hit you in the center of your soul cold out there. It's the wind is what it was.
Yeah.
That wind just ripped through anything you were wearing unless it was, like, an actual jacket.
And it was coming from the side. I mean, we had the open side to the water.
To the water, right.
And that's where it was coming from instead of
right
on Warden where it's coming through the tree. So.
Right, exactly. So, whew. But those are my thank yous, and that's what I wanted to say.
Awesome.
So we can get some questions and end this one a little bit early because we are both still recovering.
Yes, we are. And we have, like we said, more work to do.
Right.
And so we'll just jump right in. So this one, Will, you already answered on the Facebook, but
okay.
I think there's a follow-up that would be interesting if some of it happens. So Amanda Cook wrote in and said that she's catching up with the episodes and that this may only be interesting to her, but she was wondering about the model of sewing machine that Andy surprised Aaron with for Christmas. If you were listening, that was an awesome story about Christmas gifting. And that Amanda may be shopping for a new one herself, and she would love to hear what Aaron thinks of it.
Okay, so the model was the Foth Precision 5.0. And what Aaron thinks of it, she is in love with a sewing machine. She loves it. This is the equivalent of like us getting a red weapon.
Nice.
Camera or something like that.
Yeah.
Like it is sort of outside of the gigantic, you know, $20,000 industrial, you have to have a building to house it sewing machines.
Mm-hmm.
This is pretty much as high up as they go.
Nice.
For like a personal tailor or seamstress.
Mm-hmm.
So she absolutely loves it, absolutely recommends it in every possible way, and it is a beastly machine. So that's pretty cool.
Nice.
Yeah.
Rob McLennan writes in this week with the question, what is the best con panel that you've ever attended?
So for me, this one's tough because it's not really any I've been on. Though the McSterling panels were a lot of fun back when those happened.
Yeah.
Because I got to be the audience plant.
Right.
So those were a lot of fun. But I would say probably the most fun to watch was the after hours panels that you did as RL.
Mm-hmm.
Those were the best.
Yeah.
Just because they were hilarious, they were funny, they were you improvising as another. So RL was unique because it wasn't just you improvising, it was you doing a character doing improv.
Right.
And it was a lot of fun that way.
Yeah.
And these were very R-rated panels.
Yes.
So you ended up, I think, almost killed up under a desk or under a table for a bit, a number of times.
Yes, that's right, because I was playing Inspector Hound, as yes. it were.
Now, as far as attending other people's panels, that's a tough one because all of the panels I really wanted to get into at some of the larger cons like mm-hmm. ECCC and whatnot, I either was on booth duty at the time or had a panel that I was in so I couldn't, because like the screening panels all happened adjacent to or sorry, not adjacent to, directly opposed to the panels I was interested in.
Right.
So I've never really gone to a panel of my choice that has been something I've really, really wanted to attend. Because yeah. I've always just been booth blocked by, yeah. you know.
I don't think I've ever been to a panel at Gen Con.
Right.
With the exception of, and for me being a part of,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to say the original screening of Dorkness Rising.
Right.
The full Gen Con release, not the pre-release that we did in the movie theater for the industry people, but the one where they had to split it on two different screens, and I actually got to hear it with an audience for the first mm-hmm. time.
That was 2008, correct? Or was that 2009?
I think that was 8.
Okay.
And the screening in the movie theater for all the industry people was pretty amazing, because I've never seen myself in mm-hmm. a movie theater, and that was
right.
pretty stellar. But to have the... I mean, and I knew that they were going to like it because
right.
most of them had some input or impact in the film itself.
Right.
But to sit there and hear a bunch of people who we made this for getting the jokes,
mm-hmm.
having to watch it a second time because they laughed over the jokes
mm-hmm.
and missed the second joke, you know, that was pretty fun. A lot of the RL panels, just because they're really freeing.
Mm-hmm.
were great. The book signing that we did,
mm-hmm.
where no one was coming to our line, so I just started going to the long lines for, like, you know, Terry Brooks or whoever, and just started talking about, who's this hack? Sanderson, who's that guy? What has he ever written? You should
right.
come over here, and handing out the postcards and just
right.
creating a panel in the middle of an autograph session
right.
was fun. The Gaming Gong Show at SpoCon
mm-hmm.
has always provided unending
that,
delights.
Yes, that was fun. That was fun to watch. I also really liked the Who's Line panel we did.
Yeah,
that was a lot of fun.
Yep, and of course the Scotch tasting, which there will be at RadCon this year.
RadCon.
So the Valentine's weekend, if you happen to be in the Tri-Cities, Washington area,
mm-hmm.
Tim Martin and I are breaking.
Now, do we do a con exodus to go see Deadpool? Or do we see it before we go on Thursday? Because I believe it's opening Thursday night.
We might need to go see that Thursday night.
We might just go to RadCon, get our room, and go to a midnight screening.
Yeah.
That actually sounds like a real good idea.
Yeah, it does.
Let's do that.
Yeah.
Is it okay if Aaron comes?
No.
No, I mean in the theater. Sorry, Scout. Moving on.
I tried to save it, Scout. Excuse me. Paula Moran writes.
Paula Moran writes.
Topically speaking, do either of you collect anything besides scotch?
Games on Steam. I swear. I'm not a collector, really. I mean, gear, but that's not collecting so much as it's obtaining. All useful, you mm-hmm. know? I'm not a collector by any sense of the word. I really just, I purge constantly. I don't like having stuff. I don't even really have a lot of photos or memorabilia aside from digital for stuff I do. I don't save ticket stubs. I don't, you know, I give away comics after I read them so that other people can enjoy them and stuff like that. Maybe it's a... So I have a very, very good memory. So mm-hmm. it might be because of that. Because a lot of people I know who collect stuff collect it as so they can go through and look at it and go, oh, remember the blah, 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 and they talk about... I don't need the props for that currently. Maybe mm-hmm. that'll go away. But I'm not really a collector.
Yeah. My hard part is when I go through them and go... Oh, I remember that, and then I don't want to give it away because it right. just reminded me of something. Whereas
right.
if I could just throw a match on it and it all go up, then I go, oh, I don't even know what I'm missing.
Right.
But yes, I collect, if I look out in the hallway now, Lord of the Rings figures, Star Wars,
yeah.
everything, CCGs, figures, cereal boxes, Happy Meal toys. I also, oddly enough, since Paula's asking this question, collect masks.
Yes, that's funny, because she is a wonderful mask maker.
Yes, and I have one of hers. I have some wooden carved masks from Thailand. Mm-hmm. I have some paper mache masks from Italy downstairs, theater mm-hmm. masks. And then I seem to collect...
Clutter?
Clutter. It used to be debt, I stopped collecting debt, and now I just collect clutter.
I collect Amazon boxes.
Yeah.
That's for sure. I will say that the only mask I own is the one Paula made.
Really?
It's the only mask I have, but...
Huh.
Yeah. So, that's pretty cool.
It is. And they're pretty awesome masks.
They are very awesome masks. Right now. Yeah. I love the musical... sheets.
I know.
That's my favorite part, I think.
Every time I see it, I think of Amadeus.
Amadeus.
And of course, the aforementioned scotch.
I guess I take it back. I do collect Blu-rays. That's true. I collect movies. I do watch them, so right. it's not like a just... But that's the one piece I have where I'm like, hey, I don't trust digital... I don't trust cloud services to not get rid of this and make it impossible to find.
Right.
So I do want physical copies of movies. So yes, I do. I just realized I do collect movies.
Oh, and I collect books.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. And those were all from Facebook and oft not heard from.
Yes.
The Thomas A. Brophy. On the Twitter sphere, writes Simps. Yeah, he was while we were watching. Oh, by the way, Albin Johnson, founder of the 501st Legion. Congratulations to your Carolina Panthers for defeating us in the first 5 minutes of the game. To which we then played up to our normal standard, but was not enough to get over the insurmountable odds of 31-0 at halftime.
Yeah.
We were watching that game, and Tom said, oh, I'm going to send in your question. And he's like, oh, damn it, there's a typo, and it's on Twitter, so I can't edit it. And I'm like, oh, I won't say anything about your misspelling. So
there it is. Simps. And Thomas, it's on Twitter. Delete it and resend it. It's that easy. I'm helping him for next time.
Okay. Since Obama did his so do, which I'm assuming is State of the Union address, yep. What does this year have in store for you bards? I don't know what that has to.
We would still have a year even if Obama hadn't done his State of the Union.
Right. Any updates on projects?
So, the year is a little in flux, to be quite honest.
Yep.
My goal this year is to not read any more fucking celebrity deaths.
That's a good goal.
By the way, I just said fucking, and I'm sorry. At this point, Tiff better have already turned the podcast off.
Yeah.
So, I'm sick of cancer. So sick of cancer. Today I watched Galaxy Quest. We did the Labyrinth thing, and I would watch Dogma, except for it's definitely not his worst film. It's definitely not his best film. Right. And I don't mean Alan Rickman. I mean Kevin Smith at this point. And it does have one of my favorite characters he's ever written. I find Azrael to be probably one of the best Grey characters out there.
Mm-hmm.
Except for he sold it short. He made Grey bad. Basically, if you're not black or white but have any black in you, you're a bad guy in the film because he didn't choose a side. If you take Azrael out of the film and just listen to his explanation of why he didn't choose a side, why he didn't want to be on a team, it's actually very applicable to right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like the whole Muslim, anti-Muslim thing. It's like, hey, no, maybe not. Maybe let's not, just be on these hard-coded teams where... aside from that... I don't find the movie to be very interesting or very easy to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Not because of the subject matter, just because I don't feel it's a strong showing for the writing.
You don't feel that?
I do not feel it's a strong showing for the writing. But as far as our year goes, I mean, we can't really talk about much about why it's in flux, but it's in flux right now.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know how it's going to pan out.
Right.
We some of the stuff I thought I was going to be doing. I said last week that I was going to be on Automata,
mm-hmm.
the Penny Arcade film. Unfortunately, their budget fell through entirely, so there is no more social media management on the show.
Oh, man. So
I'm not on that. My hope is that closer to mid-year, I will be making a large announcement about where my rent money comes from. Well, I own, but where my money comes from. Mm-hmm. So we'll see what happens there. But right now, it's just sort of steady as she goes.
Yep. And there's stuff we're working on. We're still working on, obviously, the podcast.
Yep.
We're still working on some editing gigs,
mm-hmm.
and those types of projects. And I think there's some things that we have talked about
moving
over into more of an audio spectrum.
Correct.
So that we can just start getting some things done and we can always come back and revisit them later.
Yep. I'd like to do some more skits too. Like that little thing we did about the unit testing, that mm-hmm. really felt great. And we should do more of that.
Yeah.
But there's some other stuff that I really like. I've written a few things, kind of as jokes, and they kind of have legs. So, it'd be worth getting into that. But, there is, so 2 days from now, well, depending, you're probably listening to this on Monday for most people. Keep your eye on Facebook tomorrow, which is Tuesday. If you're listening on Monday, if you're listening tonight, you're Seth. So Seth, keep your eye out on Tuesday. But if you're listening on Monday, keep your eye out for some news because I will be involved with the news that happens if the news that happens gets funded.
Oh, I thought that was tomorrow.
That's the 18th. Is tomorrow the 18th? I thought tomorrow was the 17th.
Today's the 17th.
Holy shit. Then tomorrow.
Monday the 18th.
Monday, or today.
Or today.
If you're listening to this podcast and you
haven't... Or yesterday.
Go look at Facebook at Zoe and whatnot, and you'll probably see something.
Yeah. Do a little selectively, strategically searchery.
Yeah. I just don't want to announce it for the people who are listening tonight.
Right.
I'll be involved in an editing capacity, most likely, and some other post subtitles, because I'm the only person in this whole damn town who knows how to do subtitles right. I'm pretty confident that that is true, that I'm the only person in this entire town. Nobody does subtitles for anything. I'm the only person. So if it hasn't come through me, it probably doesn't even have subtitles. So I'll be doing those probably.
Well, you should teach me that.
It's literally just sitting and watching the movie with a program open and clicking and typing and clicking and typing and clicking and typing.
Mm-hmm.
But I also know how to manipulate the files really well.
Right.
So there's an issue with... So you have an MP4 or an MPEG or whatever. You do all the subtitling with it. And that works great on your YouTubes, your Hulus, your Netflix.
Yep.
Works perfectly. Then you go to put it into a very specific program. If you put it into DVD Maker on Mac, which is what every Mac user uses to make DVDs, if you put it in there, all the subtitles no longer line up, but they slip further and further the further you go in the movie. What it is, and I think it's a bug in the program can only interpret subtitles at 30 frames a second, but most of your footage is 24 drop frame.
Mm-hmm.
So you put the 24 drop frame footage in, it slides the subtitles based on being 30 frames a second, so they all shrink up. They all scoot back.
Yeah.
So you end up with subtitles at the end of the film being 6, 7, 8 seconds early. So this is a huge pain in the ass. But I've got all sorts of stuff I've coded myself. I can just plug stuff in and get out the right, you know.
I've also noticed on Netflix,
mm-hmm.
specifically on the series Narcos,
mm-hmm.
or Narcos.
Mm-hmm. Narcos.
Narcos.
It's Narcos.
Yeah.
Yeah. Narcos sounds like an actual word.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Their subtitling was horrific, and I remember there being something that we talked about either in the Blu-ray or whatever, that there's like, if it's within 5 seconds mm-hmm. of a start time for something,
that's because of Blu-ray. Yeah. It's 5 frames. It has to be 5 frames away from the next subtitle. So if you've got something that's said really quickly,
mm-hmm.
sometimes you have to make a huge subtitle for like 3 or 4, because otherwise you couldn't do it on Blu-ray because the subtitles would just overrun.
Right. And I'm wondering if that's what happened, because a lot of it is subtitled English for the Spanish because mm-hmm. they don't dumb it down, which is awesome. I love that. But then I also need to know what's being said.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes the subtitle, it like blinks really quick and then it's off.
Yeah. And that's most likely because they're using Blu-ray subtitles.
Wow.
Yeah.
Can't even get there from here. So...
And again, if you guys haven't watched the subtitles on Hands of Fate, please do. I put a lot of work into those, and there are a bunch of in-jokes in the subtitles. So go watch. I don't think we did anything but English on the DVD. I'm not sure. But go watch the Hands of Fate DVD subtitles. They're fun.
Yeah.
So that's it. So Neil deGrasse Tyson. We're doing it first again.
Right. If you're listening...
And you want to talk to us about how Ziggy Stardust is actually a very appropriate name for pretty much any person, because we're carbon. True. Hey, man, a lot of elements can only be birthed in the belly of a dying star. So it's kind of cool that not only does life exist on Earth, but it couldn't have existed until some stars had already died. That's pretty metal.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Anyway, come on our show or ignore us again, like you always do.
Yeah.
It's fine. Whatever.
Whatever. We've got thick skin, Neil.
We do.
We understand.
We do. Mostly on the bottoms of our feet.
Yeah.
But it's still thick.
It's calloused.
All right. So big thanks to Hawk Robinson.
Leslie Sedlak.
Todd McKimmy.
Donald Evans.
Bradley Swan.
Trampas Johnson.
Gordon D. Duke, who was also there this weekend.
Yes, he was. Digby Davis, LLC.
Paula Moran.
Amanda Cook.
Mark Bevier.
James Herbert.
Adam Morey.
Matthew Hunt.
Mike Thompson.
Tim Martin.
Rob McLennan.
Lotta Jerf.
Laura Adams.
Tom Brophy.
Tom Stewart.
Dougie Sharp.
Justin Everett.
Brittany Bentley.
Brad Roberts again. Jennifer. There this weekend. Sorry.
Riefenberry.
Go ahead and give her name again, because...
Jennifer Riefenberry.
I almost interrupted you a second time on purpose. Rival guy.
Chad Jones.
Chad Jones.
Chad Jones.
Have a good one, folks.
Thank you very much for listening.
Good night, and have a pleasant also night. I'm not Cronkite.